Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of Marcus Aurelius's Meditations for Modern Life. I hope you've enjoyed the recent episodes that I was doing pretty frequently before another little break, but hopefully you've all caught up now and are eager for some more. Guys, today I'm going to be reading from Book 4, Passage 33, carrying on where we left off. Hope you also enjoyed the little write-up that I posted on my website in relation to the last episode. There is a link to it in the episode notes if you've yet to actually look at it. Before I do the passage as well, I've received more messages, but also some really kind donations to help the podcast as well since I recorded the last one. Honestly, guys, it means so much to me to see you doing that. Especially the donations, because obviously talked about some of my experiences and challenges that I'm going through myself in some recent episodes, and every little does help. If you are able to donate to the show, there is a link in the episode notes. But then also what means the world as well is just hearing from you guys about how much the show has helped you. Whether that's the little comments that you leave now on Spotify, which I think are pretty awesome, reviews on Apple, ratings, and even those who drop me a message on social media, Instagram is probably the best place to reach me there. It's at ADZ Ads Fitness. But I've had, quite a few of you reach out over the previous months and give donations as well. And want to just take a moment to just thank you all for your continued support. And hopefully I can keep giving back to you. That said, let's get on with today's passage. As I say, we're on Book 4 and it's Passage 33. Words in common use long ago are obsolete now. So too the names of those once famed are in a sense obsolete. Camillus, Caeso, Valesus, Dentatius, a little later Scipio and Cato, then Augustus too, then Hadrian and Antoninus. All things fade and quickly turn to myth. Quickly too utter oblivion drowns them. And I am talking of those who shone with some wonderful brilliance. The rest, once they have breathed their last, are immediately beyond sight, beyond knowledge. But what in any case is everlasting memory? Utter emptiness. So where should a man direct his endeavour? Here only, a right mind, action for the common good, speech incapable of lies, a disposition to welcome all that happens as necessary, intelligible, flowing from an equally intelligible spring of origin. Okay, it's quite a long passage. And first thing I'm going to touch on here, something that I'm going to, please don't hate me for this, slightly disagree with Marcus on. But I can also understand why he's saying what he is. So we go back to the start of the passage. He's mentioning names being obsolete. And there are some that I've had to look up as well. Don't get me wrong. The first section, Camillus, Caeso, Valesus, Dentatius. Now, the reason that I've probably not heard of some of these names is that these are actually people who were involved in the very earliest days of the Roman Republic, going back to 500 BC. But they're statesmen or generals who've helped form that republic. And then the little later, Scipio and Cato, probably you probably have heard of yourself. Scipio was a famous general who was responsible for defeating Hannibal, was one of the very few people who actually managed to advance on the early Roman Republic. Cato, very, very famous statesman. And, there is Cato the Elder and Cato the Younger. Marcus doesn't distinguish here, but although Cato the Elder was around the same sort of time as Scipio, perhaps it's Cato the Younger because he was a little more famous and he was the one who was actually the statesman around at the time where the Republic was kind of transitioning. There was a lot of turmoil, the civil war involving Julius Caesar and Pompey. But then the later ones, and they're obviously, you can get a bit more background on them if you wish in the write-up that I mentioned at the start that was in relation to the last episode, Augustus, Hadrian, Antoninus. Now, those ones in particular are very well known still today. So although Marcus then mentions all things fade, quickly turn to myth, into utter oblivion, and then he actually quotes from Homer, beyond sight, beyond knowledge. That's why it's in my translation anyway, it's in quotation marks. I believe it's a quote from the Homer's Odyssey. I think it's relating to, I'm not too familiar with the Odyssey, I won't lie, but I think it's relating to one of the character's father who disappears. Marcus goes on to say, but what in any case is everlasting memory? Utter emptiness. Now, why do we know more of the later of those names than the earlier ones? Just have a think what has progressed massively in that period of time from like 500 BC to Marcus's time. So that's around that 700 years. But then also from Marcus's time to our time. The increase of literature. Okay. So of course, whilst there would have been literature even in 500 BC, it was much harder to produce and there was a lot less of it, right? Whereas if you have a look now, you have bookshops in every town, in every single house. And also, every single person pretty much can read and write, right? So it's much, and obviously in this day and age, we've got the internet and everything as well. So it's much, much easier for the work of, whether it's people who do great things, their work is going to endure much more, right? Because we actually have at easy hand, references to them, whether it's through books, whether it's through the internet, what have you. And that's why, of course, Augustus, Hadrian, Antoninus, those people have left things behind. Like obviously Hadrian's Wall is still here in the UK, but there is so much written about them that their legacy is going to endure because people still write about them now, right? I've just mentioned, obviously, I wrote an article with the last episode, like talking about the, I was talking about the progression of the emperors from Nero through to Marcus Aurelius, and that obviously includes Augustus, Hadrian, and Antoninus. So there's a lot more resources that we can go to that talk about them and their lives. But the reason that they're wrote down in history is because of what they accomplished in their lifetimes, right? So this is where, the point of this passage perhaps comes to fruition, where Marcus then goes on to talk about, so where should a man direct his endeavor? Okay. So my mention of where I slightly disagree with Marcus is just that, they don't go into utter oblivion. Those people have left the legacy that endures today. Marcus may well have thought if you think about it, but 1,800 years later, that they may be in oblivion, but they're absolutely not with the progress of, technology, in particular technology relating to reading and writing that we have. So the last point is what's key. Where should a man direct his endeavor? Here only. A right mind, action for the common good, speech incapable of lies, a disposition to welcome all that happens as necessary, intelligible, flowing from an equally intelligible spring of origin. And that last paragraph is so profound because it encompasses so much of what we talk about in this podcast. It encompasses so much of what can create a good character. Right mind. What is the right mind? Objective reason, right? Not being harmed by others. Seeing things objectively, even if that means correcting yourself. Seeing things that are best for the greater good rather than just best for you in the moment. Not seeking pleasures or just trying to avoid pain, but thinking of the greater good. Action for the common good. Speech incapable of lies. And this is something that I've seen massively develop in me, but since I've got into philosophy, is just losing that ability to lie because I don't like it. it's massively against my morals. And in the past, how many times can you reflect on moments where you may have told a lie to get out of something, to cover something up? That guilt then rests upon your character, right? It resides within you. If you are of good character and good morals, it resides within you. And that then festers. It affects you day to day. Even if you're not thinking about it, it becomes part of you. You know, we talk often about, at the end of the day, reflecting on what you've done good, reflecting on your own character, the decisions and actions and choices that you've made. Now, if you've sort of like given lies during that day, that reflection's not going to be too great, is it? And one of the things that I actually have started doing recently, I know you probably know that I do go to church, and this is obviously is not a podcast about religion. I do think, you know, whatever religion you are, ultimately fundamentals of the text and stuff, there's so much overlap, you know, in reading Marcus Aurelius, the Bible, or even the Quran. It's about like teaching about character, right? But those places, churches, so peaceful, right? But also so awe-inspiring. Just the design and everything else. That if you go in there and just sit in silence, you can definitely pick up on an energy. And I find doing that each morning lets me, it's not really journey, it's almost like I'm journaling before the day starts. So I'm kind of thinking to myself what I want to do in that day. But I'm not just thinking of actions. You know, I can obviously have done that for a while at home, talked about writing down six things that you want to accomplish each day at the start of the day. But it's thinking about how I want to be that day. What do I want to be that day? Not just do, but who do I want to be? Reminding myself of the character, morals, reminding myself of why I'm here and what I'm doing to serve this earth. And I think, you know, that sort of 10 minutes that I'm in there for, It just brings over like this brilliant sort of energy, and I leave there kind of feeling a lot lighter, but like really sort of ready for the, you know, the day ahead, and to tackle that day to the best of my ability morally, you know, not just with regards to like determination, endeavor, but morally as well, to be a good person, a person that, you know, I would want others to be as well, you know, that's morally correct, that does not lie, and all of this stuff. And then, of course, we talk about the real sort of stoicism thing in a disposition to welcome all that happens as necessary. You know, all that happens is for the greater good, whether you perceive it as good, bad, whether it's challenging, whether it's supportive, even the hardest things that happen to you, there's a meaning in there somewhere. There's a meaning that is for the best. And we often miss that, but the most greatest challenges that we go through in life, they're the things that change us. Those are the things that shape our character. We don't become worse people for going through challenges when we actually see the beauty of them. And it's not just about being strong and getting through things, but it's about how those things shape you and what we learn from them. And that's a brilliant question sometimes to ask yourself. Rather than saying, why is this happening to me? Say, what can I learn from this? Otherwise, the universe will keep bringing you the same things. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed the episode. And again, but if you can leave any sort of comments, ratings, reviews, really, really appreciate it. I'll see you next time.